You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, June 9th, 2025. Don't stop believing. Data centers, LNG exports, and Southeast demand key to Marcellus Utica growth. Published by Housley Carr. Marcellus Utica natural gas production grew by leaps and bounds in the 2010s, but the pace of growth has slowed dramatically in recent years, mostly due to takeaway constraints. Finally, the prospects for renewed growth are improving. New pipeline capacity out of Appalachia is coming online, especially to the booming Southeast, and maybe the Gulf Coast too. New LNG export capacity is about to be commercialized. And a lot of new gas-fired generating capacity, much of it tied to planned data centers, is under development within, or very near, the Marcellus Utica region. In today's RBN blog, we examine the three big gas demand drivers behind the shale play's impending renewal. As we said in part one, the Marcellus Utica is by far the most prolific gas production area in the U.S., accounting for about one-third of the nation's daily output. The shale play's gas production soared from less than 2 BCF per day to more than 33 BCF per day over that decade, but its output through the first half of the 2020s has stayed close to flat, averaging about 35 BCF per day over that period, roughly 24 BCF per day from the NGL-rich wet Marcellus Utica in southwestern Pennsylvania, northern West Virginia and eastern Ohio, and roughly 11 BCF per day from the dry Marcellus in northeastern Pennsylvania. The primary hurdle to further growth has been takeaway capacity. There hasn't been enough space on pipelines out of Appalachia to move more of the shale play's gas to demand centers hundreds of miles away. That's been changing, however, mostly due to the June 2024 startup of the 2 BCF per day Mount Valley Pipeline, or MVP, from northern West Virginia to Transco Station 165 in south central Virginia, and the advancement of several capacity expansion projects on or near Transco itself. A few of these projects, Regional Energy Access, Southside Reliability Enhancement Project, Carolina Market Link, and Southeast Energy Connector, came online over the past 18 months, and others, Commonwealth Energy Connector, MVP Southgate, Southeast Supply Enhancement, and Alabama-Georgia Connector, will follow later this year and in 2027 to 2028. See Part 1 for details. Three other projects now in the works will take the Marcellus Utica's egress capacity to the next level and, with the projects noted just above, will enable producers in the play to significantly ramp up deliveries to three key growth markets: 1. Power generation for data centers within and near the Marcellus Utica region, 2. LNG export terminals in Louisiana and Texas, and 3. Fast-growing demand centers in the Southeast, including the Carolinas, Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. First is Williams's newly announced Power Express project, which by Q3 2030 would add 950 million cubic feet per day of capacity on Transco between Station 165 and an area also served by gas flowing south on Transco Zone 6. Then there's the plan by MVP's co-owners, EQT Corporation, NextEra Energy, Consolidated Edison, AltaGas, and RGC Resources, to expand the capacity of that key pipeline by 500 million cubic feet per day to a total of 2.5 BCF per day, by adding new compression along its route. The timetable for that project has not been revealed, but it may well be time to enter service with Williams's massive Southeast Supply Enhancement Project, which will add a total of 1.6 BCF per day of capacity along Transco from Station 165 to Alabama by Q4 2027. The third big takeaway project on the horizon is the proposed Borealis Pipeline, a greenfield pipe that would run about 180 miles from Clarington, Ohio, to the northeastern tip of Boardwalk Pipeline's Texas Gas Transmission, or TGT, system in Lebanon, Ohio. The project would also involve enhancements to TGT itself, which could allow up to 2 BCF per day to flow south to the Gulf Coast. Boardwalk on April 1st initiated a non-binding open season for Borealis, which was subsequently extended to June 16th. As we said, the Power Express, MVP expansion, and Borealis pipeline projects highlight the three key demand drivers Marcellus Utica E&Ps are banking on to propel production growth in the basin through the balance of the 2020s and into the next decade. Next, we'll discuss each of them in more detail. Nearby power generation for data centers. During their recent Q1 2025 earnings calls, nearly every major player in Marcellus Utica gas production discussed their expectations for higher gas demand from new power generation in and near their production areas, most of which is tied to planned data centers. For example, EQT President and CEO Toby Rice said his company, the largest producer in the play, has a rapidly expanding pipeline of in-basin demand opportunities and is in discussions with roughly a dozen proposed power projects in the region for midstream and firm gas supply solutions. Rice said he believes EQT is exceptionally well positioned to capitalize on this setup, in part because of its recently announced bolt-on acquisition of Olympus Energy, a privately owned Marcellus Utica E&P whose upstream and midstream assets are located near several planned power and data center projects in the Pittsburgh area. The $1.8 billion EQT Olympus deal is expected to close in Q3 2025. Justin Fowler, Senior Vice President of Gas Marketing and Transportation at Antero Resources, another large gas producer in Appalachia, said during the company's recent call that the region has quickly become a focal point for gas-fired power generation, data centers, and behind-the-meter projects that will require large volumes of gas supply for decades. Fowler cited two recent announcements, one to convert the old coal-fired Homer City Power Station near Pittsburgh into a data center complex with up to 4,500 megawatts of gas-fired generating capacity, and the other by Competitive Energy Ventures, or CPV, to build a 2,060 megawatts gas-fired independent power project within our development footprint in Doddridge County, West Virginia. He said the two projects alone will drive a 1.2 BCF per day increase in regional gas demand. Rice and other EQT executives noted that while the E&P currently pipes 1.2 BCF per day of its gas production to the Gulf Coast, much of it to LNG export terminals there, and is open to pursuing any new gas demand opportunities, it is far simpler to arrange the delivery of gas to power plants in the producer's backyard. A side note, William said in late May that it is also working with regulators on the possible revival of two gas pipeline projects in the Northeast, the proposed 650 million cubic feet per day Constitution Pipeline in Pennsylvania and New York and the 400 million cubic feet per day Northeast Supply Enhancement in New Jersey and New York City. The projects were canceled in 2020 and 2024, respectively, mostly due to regulatory challenges. On May 29, Williams filed with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, to request the reissuance of a certificate for the Northeast Supply Enhancement. Gulf Coast LNG Exports. According to RBN's weekly NatGas Appalachia report, the roughly 8.6 BCF per day of pipeline capacity between the Marcellus Utica and the Gulf Coast was running nearly full, 97% of capacity, the last week of May, a clear indicator that Appalachian producers are sending about as much gas to Louisiana and Texas LNG exporters, utilities, and industrial customers as existing infrastructure will allow. With another 10 BCF per day, or more, of new LNG export capacity set to come online along the Gulf by the end of 2029, Marcellus Utica E&Ps would like to send a lot more of their gas south to be liquefied into LNG and shipped overseas, but they can only do so if more pipeline capacity is added. Boardwalk's proposed Borealis pipeline and related enhancements to the company's TGT pipeline system appear to offer the best opportunity to add a big chunk of incremental capacity to the Gulf Coast. If it is developed, and we think there's a good chance it will be, producers in southwestern Pennsylvania, northern West Virginia, and eastern Ohio would be able to increase their Gulf Coast sales by more than 20%, from an average of 7.4 BCF per day in 2024 to more than 10 BCF per day. But again, that is contingent on the development of new pipeline capacity. Southeast Power Generation and Industrial Growth. In a report earlier this year, the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis said investor-owned electric utilities in four southeastern states, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, plan to build at least 20,000 megawatts of new gas-fired generating capacity by 2040, at least part of it to meet rising demand from data centers. And that doesn't include plans by electric cooperatives that collectively serve wide swaths of the region. Utilities and co-ops in the broader Southeast, which includes Florida and Alabama, are planning thousands of megawatts of gas-fired plants too, suggesting that the region will need at least several BCF per day of incremental gas supply for its power generation sector alone. Add to that new demand for gas from the Southeast's large and growing industrial base, and residential and commercial customers, and you can see why the owners of MVP and the Transco system have been working so hard to increase their ability to move large volumes of gas from the Marcellus Utica to Transco Station 165 and from there to points north, east, and south. As we noted earlier, most of the remaining pipeline projects along or off Transco are slated for completion by late 2027, and it's likely the planned 500 million cubic feet per day expansion of MVP will be finished by then. In the next blog in this series, we'll examine the latest drilling and production plays by gas-focused E&Ps in the Pennsylvania/West Virginia/Ohio region to help assess how quickly a new round of Marcellus Utica production growth might begin in earnest. to track gas supply and demand, pipeline flows, storage levels, prices and infrastructure developments in the Marcellus Utica. See RBN's weekly Nat Gas Appalachia report. Don't Stop Believin' was written by Journey members Steve Perry, Jonathan Kane, and Neil Shoon. The song appears as the first song on side one of Journey's seventh studio album, Escape. It was recorded at Fantasy Studios in Berkeley, California, and produced by Kevin Elson and Mike Stone. Released as the second single in October 1981, the song went to number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. It has sold more than 7 million digital downloads in the US, placing it in the top 10 of digital song downloads. It has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA. Personnel on the record were Steve Perry, lead vocals Ross Valerie, bass, backing vocals Jonathan Kane, keyboards, backing vocals Neil Shoon, guitars, backing vocals, and Steve Smith, drums, percussion. Escape was recorded between April and June 1981 and released in July 1981. It went to number 1 on the Billboard 200 albums chart and has yielded 4 top 20 hit singles. It has been certified diamond, 10 million copies sold, by the RIAA. It was the first album with keyboardist Jonathan Kane, who replaced founding member Greg Rolie. Journey is an American rock band formed in San Francisco in 1973. 18 members have passed through its ranks since its formation. They have released 15 studio albums, 5 live albums, 11 compilation albums, a soundtrack album, 2 EPs, and 52 singles, and have sold more than 100 million records worldwide. Journey was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2017. The current iteration of the band, featuring longtime members guitarist Neil Shoon and keyboardist Jonathan Kane, is joined by vocalist Arnel Pineda, bassist and backing vocalist Todd Jensen, keyboardist and backing vocalist Jason Derlotka, and drummer and backing vocalist Dean Castronovo. They continue to record and tour.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.